Have your Bibles this morning. We're going to end up with Psalm 19, but turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. This morning, I'd like to just speak to you from my heart. When you find 2 Kings 2, if you look up this way, our theme for the year is built up in Him. As a pastor, in my devotions, I read a passage where in Ezekiel it said, and the pastors didn't feed the flock, and God benched them. Sort of. That's my interpretation of it. God sent them all into exile. Because the pastors, the Lord said, you did not take my sheep, teach them what I want them to do, and help them make the right decisions so that I can bless them. It would be my dream for everybody in this room. I don't know, some of you are visitors, but it'd be my dream for every young person, every mom and dad, every grandmother, grandparent, aunt and uncle, to stand before the Lord in heaven and hear Him say, I'm proud of you. Well done. But Satan is a master at getting us off track. This morning, I want you to notice the psalmist David said, Lord, you're my strength and my redeemer in Psalm 19. You can do nothing for the Lord unless first He's your redeemer. There are people in this room that have newly been saved. There was a time when you, recently, when you realized you were a sinner, didn't deserve to go to heaven, but you wanted to, and you, in your heart, bowed your head and said, Lord Jesus, it's me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry for my sin, according to Romans chapter 10, and would you forgive me and come into my heart and save me? We have several to be baptized tonight. To be recently saved, some saved a little earlier. I want to obey the Lord. I want to follow the Lord in baptism. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Is He your Redeemer this morning? You'll never hear the words, well done, or I'm proud of you, unless first He's your Redeemer. Unless you have a place in a time where you've trusted Christ as Savior, and it was you and Him that met personally. And you said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. And you became His child. But from that point, a church family is made up of people that all have potentially or have said publicly or privately, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I've been scripturally baptized. That's the way you join a church, according to Acts chapter 2. But from that point on, makes the difference between whether you hear Him say, I'm proud of you, or you have tears of regret for a while. The Bible says in Revelation 21, the Lord's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Nobody's perfect. But He's going to make heaven perfect and pure joy for all of us. The last thing I want is for you to make the wrong friends and then pull you in the wrong direction. Or do you choose a career that you want? Or you to buy a house that you want, or a car that you want, and you and I don't say, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. Lord, what I think about and what I do, I want You and Your approval. I wish I could get everybody in this room to live like that. And then there's one other thing that we have to do, and that's to keep a clean heart. Lord, in this Psalm 19, it speaks about, Lord, keep back Thy servant from sins of dominion. Things, sin controls you. You make it a habit. You do it once, it becomes a habit and begins to control your life. I don't want anybody like that. I don't want people on drugs. You've met people that are on drugs and they're controlled. That's why it's called, a substance that takes over a person's mind. Can ruin you. That's sin. Yes, there are physical drugs and there's a spiritual drugs. It's called sin. It's like cancer. When it gets into your heart, it's got to be dug out with surgery. But no one can dig it out but you. That's when he says, the psalmist says, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, I want nothing there that's bad. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to look at three men quickly this morning, all preachers. And I want you to see it doesn't matter what your occupation is, you can disappoint the Lord. Or you can grow in him every day. Everybody in this room. And the good part is it doesn't matter where you're starting from. It doesn't matter if you've had a sordid past. Look at Rahab the harlot. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So God doesn't look at the past necessarily. He looks at the future and says, where are you going? What is your choice today? Will you let me be the meditation of your heart? Will you let me be your strength? The first person I want you to notice is, if you have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 2, a famous preacher called Elijah. Now, very quickly, somebody tell me some of the things that Elijah did that impressed you. Real quickly this morning, just raise your hand and say, he did this, he did this, he did this. Somebody tell me some of the things he did. Matthew. He called fire down from heaven. Anybody done that? Something else he did. Phil. Raised the dead. Pardon me? He raised the dead. Okay. Anybody done that? Something else. Somebody else.
He divided the Jordan.
Okay. Divided the Jordan. Anybody gone in your bathtub and said right and left, nothing in the middle? I've never been able to do that. Let me ask you another question. Did you know that Elijah stopped the rain for 3.5 years by a simple prayer, James chapter 5? But on top of that, he started the rain by a simple prayer. It took 7 times, but he didn't get up off his knees till he got it done. But Elijah had a secret sin that grew out of control. He was a great steward, but he let something remain in his heart. And in the end, it ruined him. You know what it was? You know what his secret sin was? Now, it'll affect all of us. It was a fear. It was a fear of authority, kings and queens. Oh, I don't want to get called before the king. Oh, I'm afraid. If you'll notice 2 Kings chapter 2, look at me if you would. A very famous verse number 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth in us, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. The second person I want you to note of is, I want you to see that it is Elisha. We're going to look at him in a minute. And then we're going to look at his servant, Gehazi. Two of the three had some secret things going on in their lives that nobody knew about it. Look over to chapter 1, if you would. I want you to see this. Notice 2 Kings chapter 1. Elijah. Now, you will notice, I'm going to read to you a passage. Keep your finger in 2 Kings chapter 1, but turn to with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter number 19. You'll remember this passage. Verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. So here's the queen threatening Elijah. Elijah just called down fire from heaven. He just started the rain. And notice what he does. Verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. I'm going to go quickly. He got alone. The Lord was good to him. He said, Lord, kill me. If I could call down fire from heaven and stop the rain, I'm flat not going to ask, Lord, could you kill me? That's pretty dumb. But the Lord didn't listen to his prayer. You know what he did? He gave him a great meal. And he sent him back to sleep. He said, think about this. And then a little while later, notice what he does in verse number 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the inner end of the cave. He's hunkered down in a cave to keep anybody from finding him. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, you're the most famous preacher on earth. You've called down fire from heaven. What are you doing here? He said, oh, Lord, I'm the only one serving you. A fear of loneliness? I'm the only one, Lord. I can't make it. The Lord says, wait a minute, Elijah. I got 7,000 more that are serving me. You know, there's always going to be people serving the Lord. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. We have to remember that. We're not alone. The Lord will always have people surrendered and dedicated to him. But Elijah thought he was the only one. And this fear took over his heart. So the Lord says, what are you doing here? Notice, if you would, in verse number 14, the last part, he said, I, even I, anytime you start using the I word, we're in trouble. Am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And you know what he does? In verse 16, this is what I want you to begin to see. If we're not going to serve the Lord with all of our heart, he's going to use somebody else. As great as Elijah was, he had a fear of kings and queens coming after him. It's like he didn't trust his God to stand up for him when he came to the king and queen. He could stand up to the prophets. He could stand up to the people. But oh, the king and the queen, they have absolute authority and I'm in trouble. I can't win. So the queen comes after him. He runs for his life. Notice in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return unto thy way into the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. But notice, if you were the last part of verse number 16, and thou shalt anoint to be the prophet in thy room, Elisha. I want you to anoint your successor. I'm done with you. Why? He lived afraid. Now look at chapter 1 of 2 Kings. Notice, if you would, 2 Kings. Look at verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said, go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So here's an unsaved king that says, sends his messengers. He said, I'm hurt, I'm injured, I'm sick. Would you go check with Baal, a false god, and see if I'm going to live or not? Then he says, 50 of you men and one captain, go talk to Elijah and bring him here. Keep in mind, Elijah's fear is what? Kings and queens. So 50 men come, say, we want you to come and answer the king's question. And he says, Lord, send down fire from heaven. And it consumed the 50 men, 51. Word got back, Elijah called down fire from heaven, they're all gone. So he sends 50 more and one. Calls down fire from heaven again. They're all gone. And then the third time, the king says, I want Elijah here. Go get him. So the next captain comes and says, oh, please spare my life. I know you have power with God and you can call down fire from heaven. Protect my men. We're just trying to do our job. Elijah says, well, okay. But I want you to notice why he said that. Look at me, if you would. Verse 13, and he sent again a captain, this is the king, of the third 50 with his 50, and the captain, the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Now I want you to notice, look at verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, what's the next phrase? and be not afraid of him. Elijah's secret sin was fear. Fear of someone in position. Anybody here fearful? Fearful of anything. Fearful of a person. Fearful of, I might get cancer. I might get it again. Fearful of, I might lose my job. Fearful of, I'm never find a job. Fearful of my children. Lord, I don't want them to be sick. Fearful of, you fearful? I don't know if I've got enough money for retirement. Fearful. You'll never grow up in him and learn the Lord is my strength, lest you and I learn to trust him. And God said, when Elijah went into the cave, Lord, nobody's serving you but me. You feel sort of alone sometimes? Lord says, go anoint Elisha in your place. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants everybody in this room. There's nobody in this room that God says, I don't want you. The Lord loves you. He wants you to be, he wants to be your redeemer, and he wants to be your strength. The only question is, will you grow up in him enough to say, Lord, I'll trust you to take care of me and not my job. Lord, I'll trust you to take care of me and not the doctor. Now, I may use a doctor, but Lord, I'm going to depend upon you and your guidance to take care of all of me. Elijah called down fire from heaven. He stopped the rain. He started the rain. He called down fire from heaven multiple times. Why was he afraid? The Lord looked at him and said, what are you doing here? Today is the Lord asking you, what are you doing here? Why are you running scared? I love you. I can do anything if you'll walk with me. Let the words of my mouth, many a man will not give up their words or their thoughts. And let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We are not willing to give up everything in submission to the Lord and take all of our fears and throw them at his feet. Mom, you're worried about your children in some way? He is not. He's the great physician. Will you let him be your strength? And then we have Gehazi. Now Gehazi is just like Elisha was to Elijah. He's his steward, his assistant pastor. And so he's walking with Elijah, with Elisha, and all of a sudden Elisha now is a great testimony. Did you know that there is no, how many people can you name for me in Scripture where there's nothing negative said about them? Name for somebody for me. Name some, one person. A great man of God, that nothing is said negative. Zach? Daniel. Daniel. Daniel's my favorite Bible character. You want to know why? Because he lived as close to perfect as humanly possible. He had his devotions every morning. He trusted the Lord. He's thrown in the lion's den. He says, Lord, not my will, yours be done. He became prime minister of his country, which was the largest country in the world, the largest, you might say, dominion in the world. And it is because he learned to trust the Lord. He let the Lord be his strength. And so Daniel's one. Somebody else. One thing about Noah. That's good. That's a good one. He's next. Somebody else. I heard it. Joseph. Nothing really said negative about Joseph. But there's one more. Elisha. Elisha. Now, I want you to understand, Elisha is standing there on the day that Elijah is going to heaven. He knows that. And Elijah said, if you see me go to heaven, in other words, the idea is if you're focused enough to keep your eyes on me, the man of God, when God calls me home, I'll give you one request. And so he's watching him, and whenever he notices, he said, stay here. No, I'm going with you. He goes to another place, says, you need to stay here. He said, no, I'm going with you. He said, I'm not taking my eyes off you. He said, okay, what request would you like? He said, I'd like, did anybody know what his request was? What was it? I want a double portion of your power. Not for me, but so that I can be a blessing to others. Did you know one of those double power blessings he used to find an axe head? He had compassion for people. Anybody ever lost something? Wait, let me ask you a question. How many of you have lost something important to you? You laid your watch. Worst of all the things, you lost your... Okay? And how many of you got desperate and you started saying, Lord, help me, I need my keys. And the Lord let you find it. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise it up. Raise it up. Oh, you pray about your keys? Somebody name for me the smallest thing you've ever prayed for that the Lord helped you find. A contact? How much does that contact cost, roughly? $10, $20, $5? Lord, could you help me find that $10 contact? I ain't worried about $10. It was an axe head. It fell in the water. And Elisha, Lord, I need that axe head back. And the Lord caused that steel axe head to swim to the top of the water. Wow. It wasn't for him. It was for some poor preacher. Elijah cared about little things. And he used those 18 miracles, some big, some small. But nothing's ever said negative about him. But I want you to notice this. So here, Gehazi has the privilege of walking with this great preacher, with a man that can do whatever he chooses to do because he's got the gift of a double portion of power from Elijah. He's holy. He is self-sacrificing. He is humble. He is a mighty man. Now, what you notice, Gehazi has a secret sin, just like Elijah's. But now Elijah's was just fear. Probably all of us have that. Until we really learn to trust the Lord as our strength. Gehazi's was different. Anybody know what it was? It became a besetting sin. It was a sin that happened over and over again until finally became a dominion sin. It began to control him. Does anybody know what it was? Covetousness and greed. He's a preacher. He had a compassionate heart. They met with one lady she saw them driving by their house, walking by their house, and she said to her husband, let's make a little apartment on our house so that the preacher can stop by and have a place to eat and rest and read his Bible. And so the husband said, okay. So they did that, and he would stop by there. And one day he said to Gehazi, I said, Gehazi, what can we do to say thank you for all of her labors to her and her husband? He said, well, because Elisha couldn't think of it. But he wanted to do something. So Gehazi had a tender heart and said, oh, she doesn't have any children. I know she'd love to have a son. That's it. Call her in here. So the woman comes in and he says, okay, you're going to have a child this time next year. What? And sure enough, she does. Now, chapter 5 of Second Kings, a great man, Naaman, a great general, comes to Elisha's house and says, heal me of leprosy. A leprosy is like cancer, no known cure. And Elisha says, go to the River Jordan and dip 7 times, you'll be healed. He wanted him to trust the Lord. Long story short, he does that and comes back, and he's got a chariot. Now, this guy had money. Do you understand? He was a Syrian's right-hand king, Syrian's king right-hand man. He drove a chariot, man, with those fancy wheels. I mean, you know, have you ever seen the wheels that come up and they, maybe some of them, they light up at night and they roll. They kind of got lights on. Have you seen those? How many have seen those that the spinners, you know, you stop and the wheels keep going like this. I don't know which one he had. How about the thin tires? You know, the little bitty thin tires down low, riding along, you hit a, I don't know how they go over a speed bump. But anyway, they go around like this and they got the big mufflers and a little engine, you know. I mean, it just drives you crazy when they put the gear in it and they take off and it sounds like, wow, what is that? Racket. And, you know, he puts it in first gear and revs up the motor and it goes. I mean, you could do faster than a bicycle, but it sounds good. I don't know what Naaman had, but he pulled up with his chariot loaded with millions of dollars of gifts. As far as we know, by trying to check the amount of gold and silver he had. And he walks, drives up to Elisha's house and says, I want you to have all this for curing me. Have your Bible turned to 2 Kings chapter 5 and notice this statement. Verse 15, 2 Kings 5:15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, this is Elisha speaking, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You know why? Elisha didn't want him to think that you could buy God's blessings. Here's Gehazi, the young preacher sitting by, and he's had this feeling of covetousness. It's growing bigger and bigger and bigger. He's walking with Elisha, but he doesn't take care of this secret sin. It's now become a besetting sin. It's now something he thinks about. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He didn't do that. He's a preacher, assistant pastor, the greatest prophet in the country. But he didn't yield his thoughts and his dreams. He puts together a plan and he took maybe $25,000 from him. You got to realize that was probably 6-7 years of wages. He took a fortune. He walked in to Elisha's house and he had one last chance. Elisha said, where have you been? He said, nowhere. He had the chance to say, oh, I did a terrible thing, Elisha. I'm sorry. But if you don't give the Lord the meditations of your heart, you'll never be good at apologies. You'll never be good at confession. Lord, I'm sorry. The second you let one sin, fear, covetousness, greed, pride, get into your heart, well, I wonder what people think about my new suit. I wonder what people think about my new. I wonder, do I look nice? I mean, is it, when we begin to take I, we're in trouble. We're not built up in Him. We're not growing in Him. And the Lord may say to you, "Go anoint so and so to be your replacement." Oh, He might not tell you. If you play the piano, the orchestra, no, not me. God may get somebody else. If you don't sing in the choir, if you don't say, I'll be in the nursery. I'm not saying, volunteer. Lord, use me. You know, whatever the Lord wants you to do, I don't know what it is, but God needs you and He wants to grow you. And that means you may have to get outside of yourself a little bit, but the Lord will be your strength. It's a wonderful thing to know your strength comes from the Lord. You're fearless. You have no doubts and no worries. What a way to live. Elisha, what a man of God. He did exactly twice the miracles of Elijah. But there came a day in his life. Now listen to this. He's surrounded. Now Gehazi's gone. He's gotten leprosy. We don't even know if he was saved, but he is gone. He never comes back to Elisha. But he's got a replacement, another assistant pastor, and he's trying to learn. And all I want to say to you is this, they're surrounded by the enemy. The whole city and his house, and his servant gets up the next morning, raises the blinds, looks out and says, oh, Elisha, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? And godly, calm Elisha says, Lord, would you open his eyes? You see, Elisha knew God's got this. The Lord's before me, behind me, beside me. The Lord sees when I sit down and I stand up. He's got the heavens filled with angels watching out for us. But if we don't know that, we don't trust him, we're going to make a lot of bad decisions. I think I can buy this. I think I can put this back in retirement. I think I should do this. I think I should do that. Lord, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Do you trust him to be your strength? If you don't, you'll never hear those two words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, the thing that I want you to learn is this. It's hard for me to see people making a bad decision, knowing it is. I see young people maybe pick the wrong friends and make the wrong decision. I hurt for you. I pray for people in this room. I pray for God's blessing on you. I see couples that are struggling. I pray for you. I want you to do the right thing. I see some people striving to go up the ladder. It's okay to go up the ladder. Promotion comes from the Lord. If you say, Lord, not my will, yours be done. Lord, what I think about, let it be good for you. I was in Oklahoma. I was about 9 years old. Had my BB gun that shoots from here to that wall. Had my horse, bareback. Shorts, no shirt, going all over my grandfather's place hunting birds. It's 100 degrees. I said, man, I'm hot. I go to the pond, and I said, Mitzi, that's my horse, I'm going to give you water. Let the reins down, put her front feet in the water, let the reins down, and she went. I said, Mitzi, it's hot. You want a drink? So I goosed her on out till she's about waist deep. I said, let the reins down, head went up. I said, I know how to take care of this. So I started sliding out her neck. And I got right out till her ears were right here. And she was. And I started this. And her head go right down to the water, her lips, but not touch it, come right back up. I tried again. Finally, I slid back and I said, my grandfather was right. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I can bring you right up to the presence of God. I can tell you how wonderful he is, but I can't get you to drink of his strength unless you yourself say, Lord, I want it. Will you bless me? Lord, I'll trust you and your strength. Will you do that today? Will you grow in him? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't want to be like Elijah, nor like Gehazi, nor like the unnamed servant, I'd like to be like Elisha. I'd like to trust the Lord. I'd like to be the psalmist David. Lord, you're my redeemer and you're my strength. Maybe you need to come today and lay a burden on this altar or a sin on this altar. Maybe you need to leave this room this morning with perfect peace with the Lord as your strength. Everybody in this room, dream big. Elijah, Lord, give me a double portion. Many people are just accepting, Lord, just help me to make it from day to day. That's not God's plan for a Christian. Let's live in strength. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. We need you. In your name I pray. Amen.